The gospel lesson is found on page 922 in the Pew Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. Continuing at verse 19, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him, "Then, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you allow us the privilege of coming together in your presence to worship you this morning. We are here for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, we also come with an openness and an eagerness to hear your voice speaking to us through your word, to know your spirit at work in us so that we might see your work through us in all of our lives. Use this time toward all those ends, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I am still trying to decide if I am more surprised or grateful that I have never been called to be a witness in a court of law. I'm not sure what to make of that. I never have been called to be a witness. I don't know if any of you have. No one at 7:30 raised their hand. They didn't want to admit it anyway. Not jury duty. That's not the same thing. I'm not saying be called being an actual witness. Most of my exposure, probably like yours, is through watching TV shows like Perry Mason or Matlock. You know how it goes in those shows. The trial always seems to be going badly for the star until, of course, they discover a key witness whose testimony will change everything. Grilling the person on the stand until they finally break down and blurt out, okay, yes, I did it. I took my neighbor's snowblower and I ran over his plastic reindeer. I did it. It's always quite emotional. The thought of being on the witness stand carries those kinds of images, at least for me, because that's all I have seen. But that is just the Hollywood version of what it means to be a witness. And it's a distorted one at best. Friday, I spoke with a friend of mine who's an attorney, asking about what it's like in real life. We had a great conversation, and he was telling me various stories about actual witnesses that he had seen. One point that he made, that is emphasized by witnesses taking the oath as they first come to the stand, the point is the intention is to present the truth as much as possible. Each witness promising to, and you all know the words, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That conveys the weight, the importance of telling the truth. Each witness then tells the truth about what they've seen, heard, or know as it pertains to the case. In criminal cases, the measure is beyond a reasonable doubt. In civil cases, however, the measure is a little different. It's a preponderance of evidence. In any case, some witnesses do very little. Some spaz out with conflicting statements because they're so nervous. But some witnesses can actually serve to make or break a case. Bottom line, the point of a witness is to help the jury determine the truth about the case being heard. On today's lessons and psalm, we have a pile of key words which speak of being a witness. In the first lesson, Isaiah speaks of the one anointed to bring good news to the afflicted, bearing witness to the work God had done to provide healing and liberty and freedom and comfort to his people. Those whom God had planted as seedlings, becoming known as oaks of righteousness. I'm especially fond of that phrase. In the psalm, we hear about those restored from captivity, bearing witness to what God had done, filled with laughter and joyful shouting, making it known that the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad indeed. In the epistle lesson, Paul encourages the Thessalonians to express their faith, bearing witness to the Lord with rejoicing and giving thanks, allowing the Holy Spirit to shape their words and actions, indeed their entire lives. As we come to this morning's gospel lesson, we find those witnessing principles and practices personified by John the Baptist. One of the first things we learn about John the Baptist is that he was sent. In verse 6, it starts out, "There came a man sent from God, whose name was John." The most significant part of this has to do with the one by whom John was sent. If he was sent by his mother, we might say, so what? That he was sent by God means his ministry carries with it an entirely different level of authority and therefore much more significant implications. We listen differently, don't we? A second thing we learn about John the Baptist is that he was sent to bear witness. Continuing in verse 7, "He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." As we saw last week, John was not drawing attention to himself, rather preparing people for the coming of the Lord. He was seeking to help people see and recognize Jesus clearly. And then the third thing we learn about John the Baptist is that he did what he was sent to do faithfully. He had the opportunity, but resisted the temptation to draw attention to himself, to make himself the star. Continuing in verse 19, it's described for us, "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" The religious leaders thought they were hot stuff. And they were calling John on the carpet, so to speak. John's ministry had attracted crowds, and that made the leaders nervous. They demanded he explain himself to show his credentials in order to justify his activity. Instead, John did something different. Verse 26, "John answered them and said, 'If you go into my office, you will see my diplomas hanging on the wall.'" I hope you know that's not what he said. "John answered them, saying, 'I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.'" Yes, John was actively preaching and calling people to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But this was a work of preparation, as we heard last week. not claiming to effect forgiveness himself, but paving the way for and directing people to the one who would act to take away the sin of the world. I'm not really sure why it wasn't included in our lesson this morning, but if you read just one more verse, you see what happened the very next day. The next day, see, I'm not making that up. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was bearing witness to both the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus, preparing people to recognize what God was doing. In his prophetic role, God had revealed that to John so that he could speak of it truthfully, even though the work of the cross was still in the future. For us, we have a little advantage. Our witness to Jesus comes from a different vantage point than that of John the Baptist. Our witness comes from knowing who Jesus is and what he has already done and promised yet to do. Along with acknowledging Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we speak personally and experientially of Jesus who died for me and allowed me to know I am forgiven and fully accepted as a child of God. Along with affirming Jesus as the light of the world, we tell of how he walks with us and guides us through each day. Along with learning how to say the word sanctification, we share how we have been changed and transformed by Jesus and how that process continues on through the rest of our days. Along with anticipating his coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we serve him now in loving gratitude that he has made us his own to be with him for eternity. Folks, we bear witness to all that truth. After his resurrection, just before his ascension, Jesus spoke of the soon-to-be-realized outpouring of the Holy Spirit, saying this to his disciples: "You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Not just here in this little room, not just here in the city of Jerusalem, but throughout all Judea and Samaria. And keep going and tell everybody what you have come to know. At the end of his gospel, Matthew records the same calling from Jesus we know as the Great Commission. Jesus saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What does that mean? Means as Christian disciples, as followers of Jesus, we have been given a mission imperative to bear witness to Jesus, who he is as the eternal Son of God who took on human flesh and dwelt among us, and what he has done as the Lamb of God, giving himself to be our Savior who bore our sin on the cross so that we can be forgiven and reconciled to God forever. Currently, I hope you know this, currently we're in the Advent season, focusing on the fact that Jesus will come again and what it means for us to be ready for that day. But we know this too, when we look around, most of the world around us is not really thinking about Advent. They're thinking about Christmas, getting ready with decorations and shopping and various parties. Here is our opportunity. When people talk about stringing lights on the outside of their houses, we can talk about how great it is to know Jesus to be the light of the world. When people talk about spending piles of money in order to buy gifts, we can bear witness to the gift of immeasurable value that God has given us in Jesus, our forgiveness and salvation, for which he has already paid the full price. when people talk about the fun office party. We can share the joy of knowing Jesus and the life we have come to know in knowing him. It's an opportunity for us. I'm sure you've seen the signs that some people put out this time of year. There are two of them as I drive from the rectory to the post office. One says, "Keep Christ in Christmas." The other one, "Jesus is the reason for the season." I always look forward to when those come out because the same people put them out every year. What are they doing? They are bearing witness to what our Christmas celebrations are all about. Rather than celebrations being the focus, Jesus is the focus. And if you think about it, without him and what he has done for us, what would we celebrate? Winter? There are plenty of folks who are trying to celebrate without even really knowing what they are celebrating. They fill in the blank with various attempts at providing fuel for the festivities, but even they often recognize the hollowness of their efforts. We have the opportunity to bear witness to Jesus as the fullness that fills that blank spot to overflowing. To point out that our celebration of Christmas looks forward to Easter and beyond Easter to his coming again in power and great glory. Because ours is an eternal hope, ours is an eternal celebration. That is our testimony as we witness to Jesus Christ. Much like you, I've been receiving Christmas cards and letters from family and friends, some of whom I only hear from around this time of year. One example is the annual Christmas letter I received this past week from Bishop Edward McBurney. That may not be a familiar name to you all. He was my ordaining bishop, this past Monday being the 25th anniversary of when I was ordained to the Episcopal priesthood. It's always good to hear from Bishop McBurney, who is now 90 years old, long retired, and living in Bettendorf, Iowa, wherever that is. I mention his letter because he shared that he is, as he put it, shocked by the Western Church's loss of millions of adherents. He then included a recollection of the Bishop of Zanzibar, which is an island just off the coast of Tanzania, speaking to 15,000 bishops, priests, and laity at the Royal Albert Hall in London, observing all that the people had in terms of buildings and fellowship and opportunities for regular worship and all that kind of stuff. That bishop went on to say, "Now, you've got all of that. Now, go out into the highways and hedges and look for the ragged and naked, the oppressed and the sweated, those who have lost hope and those who are struggling to make good." He was speaking of a vision for serving the needs of the lost in the name of Jesus. That is the vision we are seeking to live together here at St. Paul's. To work together as followers of Jesus, carrying the word of God to our community, helping the lost come to faith in Jesus so all may see his transforming work in their lives. We are called by Jesus to be his witnesses in this world. That can be done in many different ways, but do it we must. Approaching Christmas, this is a terrific season of opportunity for us to be faithful witnesses, to remind people what Christmas is all about, even if their name isn't Charlie Brown, but then to take that next step in sharing what we have come to know about the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Folks, seize the opportunity to speak the truth in love. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice. We are filled with gladness and gratitude. when we consider what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to have that same vision as your people throughout the ages, that it is not just for us, but it's a message to be carried to everyone. And you have given us that mission to be your witnesses, to tell others what we have come to know about Jesus. Give us the courage. Give us the opportunity. Give us the joy of sharing that good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.